Well, people of God in Christ, last week we began this series of sermons on the teaching of God's Word regarding sanctification. And as we continue this morning, there are a number of things that we might say need to be carried forward. First, what is sanctification? What are we talking about? It is the ministry of God within His people and in our lives, His ministry by word and spirit to make us more holy in our inward thoughts and desires and in our outward actions and behavior. And so it can be said that sanctification is a process. Although in our mathematical and technological day, that word process always sounds to me rather cold. But by process, we simply mean that sanctification happens over time throughout the Christian life, which shouldn't be used as an excuse, I'll get rid of that sin eventually. But it should be a comfort to us. There's that old adage that rings, I think, with much truth. Be patient with me. God is not finished yet. And indeed, our sanctification will not be complete until we reach heaven. But there is a sense in which God is finished with us. And this brings up a second point to carry forward from last week. When it comes to our salvation, God is finished with us. Salvation and sanctification are two separate things, because the gospel is clear that we are saved by faith and by faith alone. And we are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And He even said on the cross, "It is finished." Even more, He said, "Come unto me, and I will give you work to do." No. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And so it is that Romans 4, verse 5 says, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." And let me just say that if this is not clear to you, that salvation can be finished for you yet today, that you are saved by faith, and that faith is the matter of resting in what Jesus has done for you, then don't rest until you understand and are resting in the finished work of Christ for you. Because that's the gospel. And that indeed is the only way to be saved. But then what about sanctification? Yes, as we heard last time from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it is the will of God that His people be sanctified. Our salvation is finished. Our sanctification has only just begun, which brings us to a third point to carry forward, that we need a reason to quit sinning. Nobody does anything without a reason, and this is how we know that it is the will of God that we be sanctified, because He calls us to obedience, even as He gives us every reason to strive every day against every sin. Last time, the reason was because sin is ugly. How ugly is sin? Just look at the cross and see your Lord and Savior there suffering, dying for your sin. So that it makes no sense. Do you see how we're reasoning this out? We're reasoning out our sanctification. It makes no sense to say, "I am saved from my sin. Jesus died on the cross for my sin. But now I really don't care about my sin." But this time, the reason is this. That sin is slavery, but a slavery from which we have been set free. And perhaps the surprising passage to teach us this is Galatians 5, but I believe it will teach us this reason. about this freedom that we have from the power and slavery of sin, if we come to understand what the Apostle Paul is indeed teaching in Galatians 5, verse 25. One verse, certainly within the context of the full passage, but otherwise one verse to give us this further reason to struggle and win against sin. Namely, the freedom, the release from slavery that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. So Galatians 5:25 says this, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And surely we can recognize that here is the call to sanctification. Keeping in step with the Spirit means living a life of obedience. That is, wanting to obey, striving against sin in the Christian life and for obedience to Christ. And the next verse makes it more clear, verse 26, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And if we look backward in the passage, we see that in verse 25, Paul is simply returning to the same call that he made in verse 16, where he writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So keeping in step with the Spirit, verse 25, is the matter of walking by the Spirit, verse 16, or in other words, our sanctification. And yet, it's more than just the bare command, as we say. Paul is not saying, you know, just roll up your shirt sleeves and get to work, and so help me, you better get it done. No, he writes, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And we need to clarify further one way not to hear this. Paul is not saying if, in the sense of maybe we do and maybe we don't live by the Spirit, it'll all become clear if we keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, Paul is not saying, you've got to prove it. You have to prove that you live by the Spirit. No, he's using the word if in the sense of, or he's using the word if to mean since. So that we can read it this way, since you live by the Spirit, then keep in step with the Spirit. The reason to keep in step with the Spirit, that is to strive to put away sin and to take up obedience, is because you are alive by the Spirit. So we've given some focus to the second part of verse 5, let us keep in step with the Spirit. But now let's understand the first part, if we live by the Spirit. And we need to see, and what we need to see is that Paul is talking about the salvation we have. We could paraphrase it and put it this way, since we have been saved, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Only Paul is telling us far more about how salvation has become ours. He is basically saying, not just since we live by the Spirit, but since we are alive by the Spirit. Since we have been made alive by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we need to understand how the Spirit has come to us to make us alive. When we confess our faith, we are more likely to say, Jesus has saved me. But here Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit has saved you. So which is it? Are we saved by Jesus, or are we saved by the Holy Spirit coming to make us alive? The answer is both, when we understand that it's by sending the Spirit that Jesus has saved us. By pouring out the Spirit, Jesus has made us alive, and this is how all the events of Jesus' ministry fit together. He was born in our flesh that he might live for us a perfect life. He lived for us in order that he might die for us. He died for us that he might rise again from the dead for us. And he rose again for us that he might ascend into heaven for us. The problem is that we tend to come to a full stop at that point. The end, and now for something completely different. The outpouring and the coming and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. No. No, the coming of the Holy Spirit was the coming of the Spirit of Christ, and it was the result. It was, in fact, the end purpose of the birth and the life and the suffering and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ to heaven. Except that Jesus finished his ministry, the Spirit would not come. So why do we stop with his ascension? In fact, we might even be given to stop with the resurrection. Hooray, Jesus is alive. The ascension, well, that was just him getting on the train to go home, right? No, he was born that he might live. He lived that he might die. He died that he might rise again. He rose again that he might ascend to heaven. And he ascended to heaven that he might pour out the Spirit. And this is how you and I get involved. Because apart from the ministry of the Spirit, well, it all happened 2,000 years ago, and what does that have to do with us? The work of Christ has to do with us through the outpouring of the Spirit to apply to us, which is to say to make us those who benefit from all that he did in his birth and his life and his suffering and his death and his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. So can we hear what Paul is saying then in verse 25? It's not maybe you do and maybe you don't live by the Spirit. It's not maybe you will and maybe you won't live by the Spirit. It's we live by the Spirit. Christ has done his work, and that work has been applied to us by the Holy Spirit. We have come to be those who have benefited from the work of Christ by the coming of the Spirit of Christ within us. So because we live by the Spirit, since we are alive by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul is saying, you're alive, so don't act like you're dead. You've been set free. Your faith in Christ is the proof that you've been set free. So now live free. Keep in step with the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we got to focus on the doctrine of double imputation. Our sin counted to Christ at the cross. His righteousness counted to us by his sinless life and his resurrection. And then last time, we got to focus on the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. Christ indeed bearing on the cross, taking upon himself the judgment of God for our sin. But this time it's the doctrine of regeneration. Maybe you've picked up by now that there are two ways to understand how the work of Christ saves the sinner. The first understanding is that Jesus died and rose again to make salvation available. It's like stocking the shelf. Salvation is put up there on the shelf by Christ. It was made available and is made available today to the sinner, but the sinner has to reach up and take it down to make it his or hers. But the second understanding of this is that Christ did his saving work not just to make salvation available, but to accomplish salvation in those whom God will save. With the first understanding, Jesus didn't actually save anyone by his work. His work may or may not be a saving work. But with the second understanding, Jesus accomplished a sure salvation, a salvation that would be applied to the sinner to make him or her a believer. And this is what we must understand Paul to be teaching here. If we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's not a question, it's a statement. And it's not really a challenge, but a call that has a reason behind it. The second reason, the second of seven in this series, for us to pursue sanctification in our Christian lives is that we indeed have life in Christ by the Spirit. We have been set free from sin and death by the Spirit. How do we know? Because we're believers in Christ. How did that happen? The Spirit made us alive. Where did the Spirit come from? It came from Christ. He came from Christ by Christ's finished saving work. And it was a work that actually saves, even 2,000 years later. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out and will not quit His work until all those whom God will save are saved. Here is the glory of the gospel. Here is amazing grace. Here is God saving sinners in a way in which He gets all the glory, and the sinner, saved by grace, gets the greatest of all comforts. Brothers and sisters, we are alive by the Spirit. So let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here is our reason to pursue a life of holiness, exactly because we can. Exactly because we have been made alive and set free. Exactly because we're alive in Christ by the Spirit, so we hear the call to keep in step with the Spirit. Perhaps a brief illustration here. What do you do when you arrive at your destination? You came here this morning. You pulled up and parked in the parking lot or on the street. What did you do when you arrived here this morning? What do you do when you land at the airport in the place where you intend to go? Do you stay in the car? Do you stay on the airplane? No, you stand up and you walk. You go and you do, and you go about your business in the place where you have arrived. And that's what Paul is saying. You've arrived. So get up and walk. Only here, in Paul's teaching, it's not so much that you've arrived, but that you are alive. And being alive, you are free from the clutches of sin. You are delivered from the control of the evil one. So walk, not according to the flesh. That would be like arriving but staying in the car or on the airplane. Instead, walk according to the Spirit of Christ who has made you alive. And so let's go back and pick up some earlier verses in Galatians 5. Perhaps Galatians 5 verse 1 is the best verse to emphasize the idea of freedom in salvation. It says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." And to hear it all the more clearly, think about what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, "You have to get yourself free. You have to struggle and get free from sin." No, Paul says Christ has set us free. And He has set us free for freedom, that we might live free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And look again at verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So here the emphasis is on what it means to walk by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. It means not gratifying the desires of the flesh. And the point is not to say that this is easy, because we are still in the flesh, and the desires of the flesh are still strong. But Christ has set us free, and it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let us not gratify the desires of the flesh when we have been set free from those desires. Finally then, let's understand better the how of keeping in step with the Spirit. And the first thing is simply to remember what has already been said, that we are free.
There will be times, many times, maybe most times, in our struggle with sin when we don't feel free. Sanctification is, after all, a struggle. It is indeed a fight. But at no point in the fight should we forget that we are free. And as we are tempted to doubt that we are free, then we need to remember this promise from God that we are alive in Christ by the Spirit. And it's not just the matter of being promised something contrary to reality. No, the reality of our freedom is found in our faith. Our faith is the evidence of our freedom. We wouldn't be Christians. We wouldn't be believers in Christ except that we have been made alive and set free by Christ through the Spirit. So here's a place to point out a certain aspect of our culture and to reject it. The idea that feeling is fact. That what you feel determines what is. This is a very dangerous idea, and our culture is filled with it. So I feel this way, so that's reality. That's what is really real. Can we not see the tyranny in that? Because our feelings are often false. And our feelings change so quickly. Sometimes we feel a certain way and we don't even know why we feel that way. And it's like the weather. Wait a few hours and it's likely to change. Get a good night's sleep. I can almost guarantee you you're going to feel better in the morning. Now, on the other hand, we don't want to completely ignore our feelings. God's word even says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Our feelings, our emotions can be legitimate, quite often are legitimate, but let us not be ruled by them. And let us go to God's word to tell us what's what and what's really real. After all, that's why Paul calls upon believers in Christ to rejoice. But to rejoice in Christ, that is to rejoice in what Christ has done to bring us the good news of the gospel. So keeping in step with the Spirit means first, fact over feeling. Fact over feeling, remembering that the fact is we are free, with the proof being our faith itself. If we are discouraged by the slowness of our sanctification, then let us look to our faith and remember that our faith is evidence of our freedom. And if we're discouraged, well, then good, because even the fact that it bothers us is evidence that we have been set free from sin and death, because the person who hasn't been set free is the person who doesn't care about his or her sanctification. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? Secondly, by being much in the Word of God. From the very beginning of God's Word, we are given to understand that the Spirit works by the Word of God. In the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," Word and Spirit, or in this case, Spirit and Word. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are always connected in Scripture. And it was the same in the work of the new creation, that is, in the saving work of Christ. The Word became flesh. Jesus was conceived in the womb. How? In the womb of the Virgin Mary. How? By the Holy Spirit. Word and Spirit. And so it was in the ministry of Jesus. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit in order to do His saving work. And so it is in our salvation that we were made alive by the Spirit, but certainly not apart from the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. So the thing to see is that it's the same in our sanctification, Word and Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit means being in the Word. Sanctification will not come for us as we sit cross-legged on a hilltop humming to ourselves. Sanctification will come as we spend much time in the Word, getting to know our Savior better, getting to understand, coming to understand the gospel better, and hearing then His call for how He would have us to live as those whom He has saved. Finally, the how of keeping in step with the Spirit includes preparing now for the long distance run and then persevering in the lifelong ministry of sanctification. And we must not give up, because there's no reason to give up. And there is every reason to keep going. We have 5 more reasons coming in this series, so let them build on each other. And let us not give up. You might recall that as the whole crowd was walking away from Jesus in unbelief in John 6, Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "Do you want to go away too?" And Peter had the answer, "Lord, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so he and the disciples, Peter and the disciples, kept going. They kept following Christ through much failure and glorious success in their sanctification. They kept going. Let us do the same, because we are already alive and free by the Spirit. Our faith itself is the proof. Amen. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, come with power. As you did in our conversion, in our regeneration unto repentance and faith, so continue your work in us. May we know by our faith that we are alive already, that you have done your work. Poured out by Christ, you have done your work to apply the work of Christ to us. But help us to be convinced as well that your work continues in us. So as we live by your power, may we therefore walk according to your power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come for the sake of Christ, and be powerful within us for our sanctification. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.